Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Especially now that it's getting cold, the chairs are cold, and we'll have our nice, warm, cushiony chairs. So we want to see you guys next week here. Anyway, we're continuing with this, the Unity Way of Living series. Just an interesting note, we got a Facebook message from listeners in Trinidad who said that they were been listening to our messages, and they're really getting a lot out of this the Unity Way of Living series. So that's pretty neat. Yeah. Maybe I'll get a request to come down there and speak, huh? Right? You want to go with me? Yeah. So anyway, you know, each week we kind of touch on a different part of this process of moving from self-consciousness back to God consciousness. And it's, you know, it's a journey. Yesterday we had a meeting with, what do you guys think, with six different churches here yesterday, five or six different churches. Had an all-day meeting with Reverend Pat Bessie and some of the people from, I still say Unity Village because I don't know all these new initials for Unity Worldwide and whatever. Yeah, came, and there's really some exciting things that are happening in Unity that's coming up. But anyway, in that process, you know, we were just talking about this Unity thought process and how to get it out there, and that's what the nature of these lessons are about. And you know, so this week we're going to talk about the soul. Moving from, you know, from spirit to soul to you, all right? And, you know, Plato said, and this is real interesting, the soul spins its own web and weaves its own body. Now, you might have heard that before, that the body that you're expressing through right now has been weaved from your soul. Your soul made the choice to show up in the world the way you show up now. Herbert Spencer, British philosopher who lived from 1820 to 1903, says, "For of the soul the body form doth take, for soul is form and does the body make." All right, that's a powerful idea. In this video I was watching on studying, you know, basically I'm what they call a photo portrait artist, and so in portrait photography I was watching a video and the narrator made this statement. He said that a portrait photographer's job is to capture the etchings made in the human face by the individual soul. Isn't that deep? All right. So how we're expressing, you know, the things that we're doing in life, it's all coming from our soul. So these things are pointing to the fact that the soul has something to do with how we show up in the world, all right? Actually, an advanced take on this theory is that the soul creates the body consciousness, and the body consciousness creates the physical body we parade around in. And so we actually do have a body consciousness. You heard me talk about this before, how if you've got braces put on and your teeth have been crooked for many years, like I had mine put on when I was 40-something, I had to have a permanent retainer put on the bottom because the teeth have consciousness and they remember where they were. So they try to go back, you know. So, you know, like, and you might have heard it said before also that every cell in your body has consciousness, all right? So that body consciousness is what creates the physical body we parade around in. But the question to answer before even trying to consider whether or not the body is created by the soul is, what is soul? And then, but you have to think about the fact that as you're trying to define what is soul, that's a challenge that's as great as trying to figure out what is God, okay? Because those things are very much interrelated. And the Revealing Word says that your soul is your consciousness, meaning the soul contains an accumulation of the many ideas that creates the underlying thoughts that give expression to all you do in the world. So everything you do, sometimes I don't know if you ever ask yourself, why do I always do this, all right? And you know, it's like it just happens the way you show up and the way you do things, the way you respond, the way you react. Well, that's something that is accumulated in your soul, okay? And so whereas the Christ, the spiritual aspect of you is changeless and eternal, the soul, you know, it's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, your soul is always constantly changing. Why? Because you're constantly having new experiences. It's like if you're ever taking a personality exam when you were, say, a teenager or a young adult, and you took that same personality exam now, you would get very different results, right? Because you've evolved over time. You've had different experiences. And not only the experiences you've had, remember, I always say it's your reactions to the experience that creates your consciousness. So the soul is influenced by both the Spirit of God within as well as the endless reactions we have to the experiences in our lives. Now, even being here today and listening to this lesson, when you walk out of here, there'll be new dynamics going on in your soul. You get what I'm saying? So every experience you have causes something new to happen within your soul. And I read the soul is like a kaleidoscope, that there are constantly changing and variegated patterns constantly manifesting in the soul, which account for the endless changes and emotions that you have. So, again, you'll say to yourself, I'm not going to react that way next time. Or I'm not going to be this way. But you just can't say that because you have created a foundation in your soul that keeps making that stuff come up. You get what I'm saying? So it's a deeper process than just saying consciously, I'm going to be different. Or, I'm going to be more spiritual. Or whatever it is. It's a much deeper process than that. So our soul is a sum total of our conscious, unconscious, and superconscious mind. Therefore, our soul contains all the thoughts from our conscious mind, all right, and all the thoughts which have slipped from our conscious mind into our unconscious mind. And in addition, our soul has what they call a superconscious mind, and that's the part of us that is aware of the fact that we are the Christ. Right? So it's very hard sometimes to think consciously, I am the Christ. Even within our unconscious realm of mind, we can't really embrace that idea. But when we get to that level of our superconscious mind, that's where we really know I am the Christ. But what happens if you have conscious, unconscious, superconscious, we've developed a barrier between the unconscious and the superconscious mind, okay? And that barrier came from all the negative use of the I am statement. So we've used all of our lives. Is that making sense? Okay. So now you could in a way say that our soul is a sum total of our ego mind and our God mind, which may make you wonder, why do we not hear more from our God mind? If my soul is made up of God mind and ego mind, why do I'm not hearing more from my God mind? We have plenty coming from our ego mind, but very little seeming coming from our God mind. Well, I believe that we do hear a great deal from our God mind, but we haven't yet learned how to listen, decipher, and follow the directions we receive from our God mind. Because our ego mind is like, oh yeah, I get it. Go to the store, get some milk. Right? But our God mind is always giving us a flow of thought that's outside of the realm of how we normally think. You get what I'm saying? All right? And so when you hear those thoughts a lot of times, because they're not within your normal frame of reference, we have a tendency to a lot of times just discount them. And again, as we said in last week's lesson, this is why Jesus said, let he who has ears hear. And we know he's not referring to our physical ears, but he's referring to what is called our listening mind. Okay? Now, we're well aware of our speaking mind. And why we're so well aware of our speaking mind, because it's chattering in our head all the time. Right now, I'm talking to you, and you're not hearing all that I'm saying. Am I right? Because there's a chatter going on in your head. Okay? And you've heard me explain many times before why that happens. It's because a speaker speaks at about 150 words a minute, but you listen at 450 words a minute. So speakers typically can't speak as fast as you can listen, So that causes you to drift from your beta mind into your alpha mind. Okay, and the alpha mind is where we spend a lot of time, like when you're driving or whatever. Now, right now, how many people really are listening to me? Right? Yeah. So I will say something and you'll slip into your alpha mind and you'll miss a part of what you don't really miss it. You hear it, but you don't hear it. Okay. So The key here is we want to understand how to work more from our listening mind. You know, it is this aspect of mind that we must put more time into cultivating, because it's our listening mind that we use to be able to listen to spirit. Okay? Not our ego mind, but our listening mind. You've heard me say before that we want to kind of move into a space where we become an observer of what we're thinking instead of being what we're thinking. All right, that's an interesting challenge. So it's our listening mind that we're seeking to cultivate when we pray or we meditate. All right, so prayer meditation is getting us more in touch with our listening mind. And one of the films I was showing at the college, the word mantra came up in the marketing thing, and I asked the students, "Do you know what a mantra is?" And they all just stared, and one student said, "Isn't that when you sit around and go, om?" I said, "Well, that is a form of a mantra, okay? And that whatever that dynamic is, you use mantras to try to move you out of the conscious mind and more into your listening mind. So again, it's our listening mind that we seek to cultivate, and we know how to ask in prayer, but what we need to work more on is how to listen for the guidance that we're asking for. Everybody catch that? Okay, because we're good at asking in prayer, but then we don't listen for the guidance that we're asking for. And we may be listening, but we're not really listening with our listening mind. We're listening with our ego, with all of his fears and doubts, and, "Oh, I don't know if I can really do that," and that kind of thing. Right? The listening mind has no judgment. It just hears and accepts. So we may claim that our lives are so busy and demanding that we don't have time to sit in the silence and meditate. We don't have time to cultivate our listening mind. But one who has fine-tuned their listening mind gets things done creatively and in divine order and with a lot less effort, because they're moving with divine guidance. So when you say, "I don't have time to cultivate my listening mind," it's the listening mind that would tap you into spirit. And when you get ready to do even the most mundane things, you'd be moving in divine order with spiritual guidance, and you'd be more creative. Is it? Okay? So artists, a lot of times, have cultivated their listening mind, but probably couldn't tell you that that's what they're doing. You right? And so it's a process that you work with. So, but it's, you know, it's possible that you may be trying to determine, what is it I'm really listening for? This is what the Revealing Word says about that developing a listening mind in terms of the definition for spirit. That we sometimes discover within ourselves a flow of thought that has evolved independently of our normal reasoning mind, and we're puzzled about its origin and question whether it is safe to follow that guidance. You get what I'm saying? You know, you get this, you go, "What? But that's not how I normally would have thought to do this." Okay? And it goes, in its beginnings, a seemingly strange source of knowledge is turned aside as a daydream. It's looked at as, "Oh, it's just a daydream," all right? But again, it seems a distant voice, an echo, something that we have heard and forgotten. One should give attention to this unusual and usually faint whispering of spirit within oneself. This voice is a development within you of a greater capacity to know yourself and understand your purpose as God's creation. So everything that we're doing and questioning and going through in our lives, That little voice is coming up and going, "Yes, but you are created greater than this. You can move beyond that." All right. As one person said to me yesterday, struggling with some issues, I said, "But you're going to get through that, because God isn't finished with you yet." You get what I'm saying? All right. And so that listening mind is saying, no, this is not the end. You know, this is just the beginning. What was that thing? Everything will be okay. Right. Everything will work out in the end. If it doesn't work out, then it is not the end. All right. Basically, that came out of a movie. I don't know if you saw it, with the Indian guy, people, they had the hotel, and I can't remember but it came out of that movie. And so the Revealing Word says further about this: when you learn how to concentrate all of your faculties on truth ideas, our conscious mind and our unconscious mind blend into one, and there's a descent of spiritual energy into our soul and body. Then our faculties receive new power to express truth, and in our body, and our spirit is renewed. Okay, so when all the faculties are focused in on this idea of spirit, because even when we sit down to pray or meditate, what's going on in the back of our mind? You know, I got to cook that roast. Did I do the dish? You know, right? And all that stuff is going on, but you learn how to focus all the faculties. So why spend more time in the silence? The answer is to cultivate your listening mind. So it'll become more attuned to hearing the whisperings of divine guidance, and you'll always be guided through all the intricacies of your life. So that's the key. And you know, if you thought about it, if you said to yourself, man, if I could do that, if I could move through life being guided by my listening mind, always listening to spirit, you know, now the ego goes, oh, that sounds really great. What time does that movie come on, right? I mean, you know, it seems great, but then it jumps off to whatever the other things it knows about, you know. So you ever say to yourself, I should have followed my first thought? You ever had that? Yeah. Or I had an inkling that would happen. Or I should or shouldn't have done that. We all have gone through that because the listening mind said, don't do that. Or it said, no, you want to do it this way. We're going, no, I always do it this way. And you get into this argument with yourself, right? So you're not really arguing with yourself, you're arguing with spirit. Spirit is saying, I'm giving you the easy way, and you're saying, no, I want to take the way I normally do. Okay. Again, what? You're saying, not your will, mine be done. But as we read in the definition of spirit in the revealing word, when we get these intuitive messages, we are often puzzled about their origin and question whether or not it is safe to follow their guidance. Right? But again, as we read in the revealing word, the voice you hear within you is a development within you of a greater capacity to know yourself and understand your purpose in God's creation. Right? So if you find yourself in difficulty with somebody and you that normal energy that comes up, but then you get this sense inside of you that there is another way you could respond. That other way usually is love, and that is what we were created to do. You get it? All right? So that listening mind said, no, this is what you were created to do. Not what you normally do, but this is what you were created to do. So spirit is that aspect of your being that imparts into the superconscious aspect of your soul the awareness of Christ in you as your hope and glory. Spirit is that aspect of you which constantly is seeking to guide you in the ways of spirit, but you can only receive guidance when you learn to be still and listen with your listening mind. And you can do it in the midst of anywhere. In a busy meeting at work or wherever your car, whatever is going on, you can stop and become still. You can just look the person right in the eyes. Keep nice, gentle eye contact while you are slipping back into your listening mind. All right? And they may ask you, what's going on? You just give me a minute. I'll be with you in a minute. All right? And after a while, you know what happened? The people in circle, they'll get used to the fact that that's what you do. You know? Instead of just blurting out what you would normally blurt out, They'll notice you get calm for a minute, all right, and then you come back and share. So in the revealing word, it says, Spirit is God as the moving force in the universe. Spirit is God as the breath of all life and all creation. Spirit is God as the principle of all life. Now, our challenge is that no matter what we say we believe about God, most of us might have some leftover belief that this breath of life, this principle of life, this moving force in the universe is up there or out there. We got to understand that all of that is where? It's in here, all right? And again, if you go back to Scripture, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not up there. It's not over here. It is within you, okay? And some translation said, is in the midst of you. So we are both, God is both in us and we are in God. We live and breathe and have our being in this divine idea we call God, okay? So instead of coming from in here, causing our soul to be fed mostly from our conscious mind and its sensory relationships with what's happening in the material world, we want to learn how to become more fed spiritually, from our own inner dynamic, what we're calling the superconscious mind, which receives its information directly from spirit. So we have a mechanism. We all know we have a mechanism, conscious mind. We understand that. We also understand, to some degree, unconscious mind. What we're challenged with is understanding the dynamic of superconscious mind, which is put into us by spirit. It is what that would be our kingdom of heaven. Is everybody following that? Okay. The superconscious mind would be our kingdom of heaven, which was put in us to get that direct relationship from spirit. Okay. Do I need to stop for a minute? Technology. So, spirit is the breath of life in all creation. Okay. Spirit is the breath of life in all creation. But so often our thoughts, words, and actions snuff out the breath from our soul, leaving our soul vulnerable to negative impressions. Now, let me say it again. Spirit is a breath of life in all creation, but so often our thoughts, words, and actions snuff out the breath from our soul, leaving our soul vulnerable to negative impressions. Okay? Meaning we do something, anger, fear, whatever it might, anything that's fearful snuffs out that breath, and it leaves our soul vulnerable to negative impressions. Now, think about the last time you were upset with someone or about something. Ask yourself, what did I feel when I was upset? What did I think? What did I say? And consequently, what did I impress upon my soul when I was upset? All right? Think about the last time you were upset with yourself. What did you feel? What did you think? What did you impress upon your soul? Okay. Now, think about what is being said and done on a national level and a global level today, and ask yourself, what are the real ramifications of our actions? What are we as a nation impressing upon our individual souls? What are we impressing upon the soul of our nation? All right? And I've lately, when people have been saying to me about, you know, what we need to do out there, you know, to fix things, my response is always, what do I need to do in here? Okay. This is a very challenging spiritual principle. It is not that you want to go out and fix it. It's that you first have to make it right. You first have to be able to see it right. Now, most of us probably don't understand that. You get what I'm saying? You have to be able to see it right. It has to become the right, what you call the right idea of love has to be inside of you before you can be able to see love outside of you. Otherwise, you're just another person with a sign marching. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. Not yet. All right? It's a process you have to work on of being able to see rightly. See the higher good. So the leper comes up to Jesus and says, I have leprosy. Jesus did not see leprosy. What Jesus saw was this person whole and well. Person says, I am blind. Jesus did not see blindness. Jesus saw the person as whole and well. Is that you trying to get something? Trying to get it? That's a challenge. It's a really big challenge, especially with all that's going on in the world right now. But in this process of spiritual awakening is what we're trying to do. It's extremely important for us to realize that we do not have a soul. Everybody say this with me. We are soul. So it's not about, oh, I have a soul. No, you are soul. So every time you lose that sense of peace, which keeps you centered in Christ, centered in love, you bruise your soul. That part of you in which you travel through eternity. Okay, those bruises and those wounds show up in our lives and our bodies in a variety of different ways and will keep showing up until we heal our soul of the wounds which are creating the unwanted trials and tribulations in our lives. Okay, so it's not a matter about fixing out here. I've got to heal what's going on in here. And bruising your soul, remember, I said you travel through eternity. You'll change this body over and over again. But every time you come back, you've got to heal those aspects of your soul. So the key would be, to, as well as working on healing ourselves, would be to keep ourselves from what? Wounding ourselves. Is everybody with me? Okay. And so, it's a process we have to go over throughout our souls also. Now, as it is written in Genesis, in terms of this idea that I am a soul, said God, when he created Adam, says God created him, and he breathed into him, and he became a living soul. Okay? Now, our soul, with its accumulated personality traits, it's our real body. Our physical body may die time and time again, but our soul body lives on, continuously evolving in time. All right? So the key here is we've got work to do. Am I right? Okay? I'm going to end this by saying this statement I say so often every single Sunday almost, that you have to make a choice at the level of your soul to whom this day will you serve. And so it is. Amen.